It was a crisp fall day. The year was 1983, and I was cruising north on Interstate 75 in Michigan. I was driving a 1961 Rolls-Royce. I'm not kidding. A 1961 Rolls-Royce. It was a beast of a car. A huge 12-cylinder engine, leather on the interior, a burl walnut dashboard on it. It was a thing of beauty. No, it wasn't mine. No, I didn't steal it either. Back at that time, I was working at a high-rise apartment complex in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The owner of that building from time to time would ask me to make deliveries to his second home in Upper Michigan, a place called Charlevoix. Now, up to this point, it was things like furniture and tools and equipment. But one week, he says, Ron, he says, listen, I want you to deliver up to Charlevoix my newly acquired 1961 Rolls-Royce. I was thrilled and scared all at the same time. I was thrilled because when would I ever be able to drive a Rolls-Royce? I was scared because I was going to be driving a Rolls-Royce, right? And you could say, ah, so what? You know, no big deal. It's not your car, Ron, right? Except for the fact that it was my responsibility. He shared with me that he paid $150,000 for this car in 1983. And he's entrusting it to me. So not only was it my responsibility to take care of that car, I found it an honor that he would trust some 22-year-old to drive his car up to his summer home in Charlevoix. So that meant I was going to take very, very good care of his car while it was in my possession until I gave it back to him. That, my friends, is stewardship. Stewardship is managing well what has been entrusted to you. Biblical stewardship says that everything that we have has been given to us by God. The house I live in, the car I drive, the clothes I wear, all of that is a blessing from God. And God has entrusted it to me, given me the responsibility, I think the privilege and the honor, to manage it and to steward it and to take care of it until one day I give it all back to him because I'm not taking it with me. No one ever has. So that's what stewardship is, managing well everything that's been entrusted to us. Unfortunately, stewardship has been incorrectly identified as simply what you give to church. Sometimes it's looked at, oh boy, church needs money, so they're doing a fund drive, right? That's not stewardship, right? Giving is part of stewardship, but it's a small part of stewardship. Stewardship means that I'm going to manage well, right? I'm going to care for everything that God has entrusted to me. So that's why this week we're going to spend a few weeks talking about stewardship and what the Bible teaches about being a good steward, being a good manager. We're just going to answer some basic questions, right? And today it's, so why does it matter? Why does it matter? The simple answer to that question is, it matters because it's a spiritual issue, not a money matter. It's a spiritual issue. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have spent so much time on it. Jesus, in the Gospels, talks more about money than he does heaven, hell, prayer, and a whole host of other topics that he talked on, right? He hits it hard because he knows that this is a difficult one for us to really master, and we've got to be diligent about it. So if Jesus spends that much time talking about money and possessions, I think then it's worthy of our time as well. All right, so let's dig in. Why does it matter? So what are some things that the Bible teaches us about our money and possessions? The first thing it teaches is this. Money is neutral. It's neither good nor bad. It's neither good or evil. Money, possessions, they're all neutral. Unfortunately, we've incorrectly misquoted a passage in 1 Peter where we say money is the root of all evil. No, it doesn't say that. Let's take a look, right? 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils, right? It's the love of money. Money itself, possessions, they're neutral. whether you have a lot or whether you have a little. I mean, if you're a wealthy individual, right, that doesn't make you evil, that doesn't make you bad. If you have a lot of things, right, you got a boat, you got a house, you got an RV, whatever, that doesn't make you an evil person, right? I think I have a lot of things. That doesn't make me a bad person because things, possessions, money, they're neutral. They're neither good nor bad. Our attitude is the key. What is our attitude towards our money and our possessions? Let's keep going in verse 10. So he says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Right? So he says, the love of money and the lusting after money, the craving after it, the greed that comes with that, he says, that's called a whole host of problems for people. So it's not the money, but it's our attitude towards money and possessions. So if that's the case, then don't let money be your master. That's the basic teaching of Jesus in the verses we read a few moments ago. It's a three-part sermon, if you will. He breaks it down in three ways, but the basic message is don't let money be your master. Right? Let's dig in. So we took a look at Matthew chapter 6. He starts out by saying, so store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't store up for yourself treasures here. He says, moth and rust destroy. In other words, anything we have in this life, it's short time, right? For all I know, that 1961 Rolls is a rust bucket someplace, right? Someday, the car that I drive right now will be no more. At some point in time, the house that I live in, it won't be there anymore. These clothes will be all tattered and gone. Everything is temporary in this world. It says, don't store up for things, treasures for here, but store up heavenly treasures. But then he brings it home with this verse. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There your heart will be. So now in Scripture, you know, your heart isn't the organ that's pumping blood. The heart is who you are at your deepest level. Who are you at your core, right? So what's important to you? What takes priority in your life? What's number one for you? And Jesus says, be careful. Because whatever it is that you treasure, whatever it is that has the highest priority, whatever it is that you trust in, you find security in, he says, that's going to capture your heart. That's a pretty big statement from Jesus, right? So now he takes it to the next level. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. Now, what does he mean by that? So ancient Near East, that was a way of saying that through the eyes, you could peer into someone and see who they were, right, as an individual. So you could see their soul, their heart, if you will, what kind of person they were, right? So the eye is the lamp that lets you look inside of a person, right? Then most translations will say, yeah, and so if it's healthy, then you're full of light. If it's unhealthy, you're full of darkness. Those two words actually can be translated differently. And since Jesus is using this metaphorically, I actually think a more accurate translation would be more like this. If your eye is generous, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is greedy, then your whole body will be full of darkness. And what great darkness that is, right? So he's saying if you got the right attitude about money and possessions, and you have a generous heart, well, then you're full of light, right? Goodness. But if it's full of greed, it's darkness. Again, that's a pretty dramatic statement from Jesus. I think it bears out to be true. More than likely, all of us have met somebody who is really greedy. Have you? I have, right? And you can be greedy in two different ways, by the way. Greedy can be a miser that hoards everything, that squeezes every penny until Abe cries, right? Or just everything, right? That can be greedy. Greedy can be, I'm going to make as much as I can, and I'm going to buy as much as I can, and consume as much as I can. If you found somebody who is just really, really super greedy, my guess is they're not a nice person. That's been my experience. They're not even fun to be around. There's a darkness that's in there, right? And then Jesus finally brings it home, and he says, all right, let me put it this way. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. That's all there is to it. One of them's going to be the important one. One of them's going to take priority, but it can't be both of them. So which is it going to be? Where are you going to put your trust? Where are you going to find your security, right? What's going to capture and own your heart, right? If we look inside of you, is it going to be light or darkness? Are you going to trust God or are you going to trust money? Okay? Money and possessions have a whole host of problems with them. They're neutral, but our attitude can bring across a whole lot of problems, right? So money promises much, but it delivers little. It promises a lot, right? So for instance, money promises happiness and security. Now I'm going to be real with you. It can deliver on this one. To a point. To a point. You can buy a lot of happiness. I mean, let's be honest about it, right? If I blew a grand this afternoon, I would have a good time. I mean, I would have a lot of fun, right? You can buy some happiness, right? Security, I don't know about you, I feel a lot better when there's a certain amount in the savings. All right, just feel better about things, right? To a point. To a point. Nothing you own, nothing you have in the bank is going to mean anything when a relationship ends. Not one dime is going to make a difference when you have to say goodbye to your spouse and they go to heaven. It's not going to matter when they're in the hospital. Promises, but it can only deliver to a point. The other issue with money is there's never enough, because enough is a moving target. Enough is a moving, having enough, oh boy, if I had that, then I'd have enough, right? So think back to when you made 20 grand a year, right? You made 20 grand a year and you probably thought, you know, if I could make $35,000 a year, that would take care of everything. We would be set. And then all of a sudden, right, you're making $35,000 a year. And then you think, you know, if I could make $55,000 a year, then I think I would be all right. And it just keeps moving, right? It's a moving target. Whenever you reach it, there's always another level. I suppose if you're a multi-billionaire, you've reached it. I don't know. I don't happen to be a multi-billionaire. But for the rest of us, it's a moving target. Another big issue with our culture with money is many base their self-worth on what they make and what they have. So success is defined by how much you make or what you've been able to acquire and possess in your life. And that has its whole host of problems with it, because then people are constantly worrying about money. I just read an article online from Time. And Time was doing this thing about what is that stresses Americans out. Well, the American Psychological Society, since 2007, has been doing this survey to try and find out, so what's the number one stressor in America? Since 2007, every year, by a good margin, the number one cause for stress is finances. John Hancock did a survey of their employees. They found out that a whopping 72% worried about finances at work. Right? They're worried about productivity. But what they discover is 72% are worrying about finances. Then the article went on to say, and this has led to a whole host of problems. There's depression, there's migraines, there's ulcers, there's high blood pressure, there's disruptive sleep. Why? Because of our attitude towards money. We're letting money be the master. It's going to dictate to us. It's going to take the priority for us. We can't let money take the priority. It cannot be our master. Money's zero, right? It's neutral, but our attitude towards it. What we need to do is to make money your servant. Make money your servant. The number one way that you do that, know your true treasure. Know what's really the most important thing, and it's your identity in Jesus. Everything else pales in comparison. That you're a child of God, that you've been redeemed by the Son of God. You want to talk about self-worth? Jesus says you're worth so much, he was willing to leave heaven and come down here and live for 33 years. You want to talk about self-worth? He said that you're so valuable that he would go to the cross, and there, he would take the punishment for your sin. That he would die in your place so that you could be forgiven, so that his Father in heaven was your Father in heaven, so you can be reunited in that relationship. That's how valuable you are to God. You're worth everything to him. You want to talk about security? We got eternity locked in. He says, I give you new life here and a freedom here. He says, but on top of that, he says, you're going to spend an eternity with me in heaven. This is our true treasure. And we've got to be diligent and remind ourselves about that, because it's so easy to slip into thinking the things of this world are important. But it's our identity in Christ which is important. And once you've captured that, put money in its place. Put money in its place. For most people, when they look at their finances, this is the progression they do. They enjoy, save, give. In other words, they take a look at their money and they say, okay, how are we going to spend our money? Well, we got to pay the bills. I don't know how enjoyable that is, but I like having electricity. I like having water, right? So you got to pay for those things, right? So you enjoy first. If there's anything left over after you do all of that, well, then we'll probably save a little bit. And then if there's anything left over after that, well, maybe we'll give that to a worthy cause, right? You know the problem with this. We've all made dumb decisions, right, where we enjoy just a little too much, right? We bought things that we couldn't afford, and all of a sudden we don't have anything to save, and we certainly don't have anything to give away. Turn it around. Give, save, enjoy. All three of them are biblical. Give some away, you save, and then you enjoy. Every article, at least, that I have read, every book that I have read, whether it is secular or whether it is religious, says good money management says you give part of it away, you save a portion of it, and then you enjoy what's left. I've not read one that contradicts that, right? Biblically speaking, Scripture talks about giving part of it away. Even in Matthew chapter 6, a few verses before our reading, Jesus says, but when you give to the needy, do you see the assumption there? Jesus assumes that you're going to be giving some of it away, all right? So give first, right? Because when you give, you put money in its place. You've just demonstrated great power over money. You have such a command over your money and possessions, you can give some of it away. Okay? Now you're the master, not money. Side benefit, by the way, it feels pretty good. It feels pretty good to know that you're giving some of it away, that you're making an impact. Here's just a real small example. On Thursday night, we went to Gamage to watch a play. After the end of the play, one of the actors got up, he made a pitch for one of their charities that they support. And it seemed to me that they were doing a lot of good stuff. And so as we were walking out, I reached in my wallet and, you know, put something in the bucket at the door. I don't mind telling you, I felt pretty good. Hey, I'm supporting that. That's great. It was a great evening. It was a wonderful evening, right? So there's the added benefit, right? Because that's how we're designed. It's give, save, and then enjoy, right? So you give part of it away. You save for the future. That's biblical, by the way. That's not making money a priority. That's being a good steward. That's being a good manager. You never know when the car is going to break down. You don't know when the roof is going to leak. So as a good steward, you save for the future. And it's also biblical, enjoy what God has blessed you with. Absolutely. Praise God for the things that you have and enjoy them. And here's the thing. If you follow this order, you'll enjoy it far more. Because you know that you've given some away. That feels great. You've saved some. And now you truly can enjoy this. You're not worrying, will I have enough? Have I spent too much? Right? All of that's gone. Right? Make yourself the master over your money. That's stewardship. It's managing everything well. Right? Money's neutral, either good or bad. Our attitude, that's the important part. What's captured our hearts, right? Are we filled with light and generosity, right? And who is the one that we're going to serve? We're going to serve God, so we're not going to make money our master. Instead, we're going to make money our servant. Amen. Do you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the abundant blessings that you've showered upon me and everyone in this room. We are so grateful and privileged and honored that you would entrust it to us. May we be the very best stewards possible. In Jesus' name, amen.